Tell you what, if we're not careful, we're going to be preaching the faith of our great-grandfathers. I don't want this to skip a generation as happened in the Bible. I want you to understand that what worked back then not only still works today, but works even better today and is going to work in the future. Amen? Boy, I certainly am thankful for the faith of our fathers. The mercy and grace that God showed them is the same mercy and grace that God can show you today. The same God that they served, the same God that took them through the Red Sea, the same God that took the walls of Jericho down, that made Jonah get through that whale, that made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego make it through the fiery furnace, the same God that Daniel prayed to in the lion's den is the same God that I've came here today to preach to you. And aren't you excited? You can put your faith and trust in Him, and He's got everything under control. Amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 26. We'll read but two verses of Scripture. Why don't you stand, stretch your legs for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading with verse number 18. We'll read just two verses of Scripture. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Keeping in the theme of the faith of our fathers, I'd like to preach for just a few moments. I want to dig where Papa dug. I want to dig where Papa dug. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to preach this message. Lord, I pray, God, You would help me, Lord, to preach to hearts and not to heads. I pray that You would hide me behind the cross and give me the words that each and every person, Lord, stand in need of. I pray for Brother Mark who will follow me. I pray, God, that You would give him, Lord, a double portion, Lord. God, that You would bless him and use him in a real way. Lord, we're thankful for this church, for this pastor, for the singers, for the services. Lord, for Brother Kenny as he'll come in and other preachers throughout this service. But Lord, it would all be for naught if we didn't give You all the honor and glory and praise. And Lord, I pray through Your power, Lord, that if there be one here under the sound of my voice, that today would be the glad day of salvation. Lord, if there be others that need to be surrendered, I pray, Lord, that this morning they would do that. Lord, again, we're so thankful for all that You've done for us, and we're looking forward to what You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Genesis chapter 26, we read an interesting story. Here, Isaac, you know, the son of Abraham, he has gotten to be a pretty rich man, a very blessed man. And the Bible says that he has many cattle, he has many sheep, and he has many servants. But one thing that he is lacking is now that he has all of this gang to feed, he needs some water. And you and I today, if we need water, we'll call the well drillers, and they'll come out, they'll set up in our yard, and in a few hours they'll be about 400 feet. But in the Bible times, if you needed water, you had to grab a shovel. Young people, that's a thing that you use to dig. You had to grab a pick. That's a long thing with a point, and you had to put it in the ground. I mean, you had to dig for water. And I'm telling you, in this Bible times, when Isaac stands over his servants and he says, "Fellas, we're in a bad place right now. We need water. We have to find a well." I'm sure his servants rolled his eyes and they understood what kind of work was going to have to go in. But Isaac said, "Hold on, fellas, don't roll your eyes just yet. Don't get all upset." He goes, "I know a place where there's some wells. I remember where Daddy dug. I remember the wells that were springing up inside. I was just a little tyke, but I remember watching Daddy and his servants dig those wells." He goes, "I not only remember the names of them, I remember the location of them." All throughout the Bible, you'll find that water is a picture of the Word of God. And my today, do I need older people, younger people, bigger people, little people to just dig into the well of the Word of God? I tell you what, we could solve a lot of the world's problems by just digging in to what the Bible says. But you know, just like anything, you start to dig into the Word of God, you start to create something that is big for God, you strike out on your own and want to do God's will, you'll never guess who comes: the devil. I mean, anytime you decide, you set out that you're going to serve God, that you're going to do something big for God, you make a resolution that you're going to pray every day, read your Bible every day, come to church, come to youth group. You do that, and let me tell you something, the devil puts your name at the top of his list, but I certainly am thankful that where the devil is, God is much bigger. Amen? I'm thankful for that today. And so that's exactly what happens to Isaac. They go to find the wells, and I mean, he says, "I think I know where they're at," and he finds the place, and he says, "Yes, this is it," but the Bible says that the devil, the Philistines, had started to fill in those wells. And my, I tell you what, anytime you go out and you decide to do something for God, the devil the devil, he'll come in and throw a big rock in it. But I'm going to tell you, I got news for you. Isaac, I believe, looked at his servants and said, don't be too discouraged, because it's always easier to dig where somebody else dug. And he says, I got even better news for you, boys. You know, when we have to go out and dig a well, we don't know if there's going to be water or not. He goes, but I remember, I was just a little fella, but I know if we dig here, there's water here. And can I tell you today that the faith of our fathers, it may take some digging, and it may take some work to uncover what the devil has filled in. But can I say there's water there? There's water there where Paul drank from. There's water there where John the Baptist drank from. There's water there where Billy Sunday preached from. There's water there where D.L. Moody preached from. There's water there where Oliver Green found it and put a tent up in the middle of nowhere and people come and got saved. There's a well there where Brother Gilbert's at, pastor of church, Brother Schuler, Brother Moore, Brother Hill. I'm telling you, there's water there. And can I say, it may take a little bit of work getting the devil out of it, but there's water there. And I certainly am thankful for a well that's springing up. Young people, you and I must realize that there are three wells that we have to dig, that we've got to get the devil out of. And can I say, I'm going to call them by the same names that Papa called them. Number one, it's the well of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, certainly the devil has came along and threw a big rock in there and said, anybody can get saved. Anybody can. All you have to do is serve God. All you have to do is give a certain amount in the money plate. All you have to do is look a certain way, act a certain way. Oh my, anybody, there's so many different ways to God. I mean, the devil just throwing rocks down in that well, but I certainly am thankful that the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm telling you what, the devil will tell you that evolution is right. The devil will tell you that the virgin birth is wrong. The devil will tell you that all the things in the Bible is just a hoax, just a false, but I'm telling you, let them guys be a liar and let God be true. Amen. I certainly am thankful that Jesus stood there when his disciples didn't know what to do. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. And there Brother Nick or Brother Thomas or I believe Brother Schuler or maybe even Brother Gilbert said, Lord, we don't know how to get there. And how can we know the way? And I believe Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I tell you, a well that needs to be redug in our churches, redug in our homes, and redug in our hearts is the well of salvation. There is only one way, and that's the way of Jesus. You got to come by the cross, folks. Hey, yeah, I know. You say, but Papa was saved. It doesn't matter, he was saved. You still got to dig. You still got to drink. But can I say this, if you're willing to come down to this old-fashioned altar and confess your sins, and the Bible says just ask Jesus to come into your heart, you'll find a well springing up. Remember the lady at the well? She found it. Paul found it. Hey, John found it. Hey, and I'm certainly am thankful that one day God looked down through the span of time, hung between heaven and hell, and he thought about Brother Nick Bandy that was going to need him one day, and he stayed on the cross and died for me. For I'm so thankful, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. The well of salvation. Number two, I must hurry. The well of surrender. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know, it's one thing to be on the team. It's another thing to be in the game. When I got saved, I knew I was on the team. But I didn't want to just be on the team. I wanted to be in the game. I played basketball all my life. I love basketball. You can tell I'm trying to look like the ball. Amen. I tell, hey, don't laugh at that, you smart Alex. Tell you what, I love basketball. I played rec ball. I played travel ball. I played in high school. And I remember our high school was small, so anybody that came out, the coach had a standing rule. If you come out to play, he goes, everybody can be on the team. That's the rule. But when game time comes, guess what? Only the best are getting out on the game. He had a rule. Anybody could be on the team. And can I say in Christianity, anybody can be in the army. Amen. There's only a select few he puts out on the front line. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
There's so many times that young people come to me and say, Brother Nick, I want to be a preacher. Brother Nick, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Brother Nick, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I say to them, that's great. That's awesome. But you've got to be willing to put in a little bit of work.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be surrendered.
That's right.
And I believe today we have in churches all across America bench warmers.
Yeah.
Riding the pine. I never wanted to ride the pine. I want to be in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that's what Isaiah said. I don't want to ride the pine. I know you're looking for somebody to put in the game. He goes, I don't want to ride the pine. Lord, send me.
Yeah.
Oh, send me, Lord. But you won't come to practice.
That's good.
But you won't come to practice. You know what practice is? Youth group.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Mark can come put the Band-Aids on soon. I need a Snickers, amen? Hey, I'm telling you. Hey, practice is youth group. Practice is Sunday morning. Practice is Sunday school.
Yeah.
Practice is
Amen.
Sunday night. Practice is
Amen.
Wednesday night.
Amen.
Practice is youth revival. Hey, don't expect to be put in a game if you're not willing to come to practice.
Yeah.
I know what Allen Iverson thinks of practice, but I know what Michael Jordan thought of practice. And let me tell you something. Hey, Allen Iverson has a whole lot more Jordans in his closet than Jordan has Allen Iverson. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Hey, I'm telling you what. Practice. Hey, that does make perfect. And can I tell you something? Don't ever expect for God to use you. Don't ever expect to find yourself making it out of a fiery furnace, out of the lion's den. I mean, doing something big and great for God in your family, in your school, in your church. And if you're not willing to come to practice.
Good.
I want to be in the game.
Yeah.
You don't know the playbook. Hey, don't ever expect to get in the game if you don't know the plays. Where do you find the playbook? It's in your hands, it's in your laps, it's on your pews.
Amen.
It's not in your dashboard. It's not tucked under a chair.
Yeah.
It's not left in the car. It's not left on a pew.
Right.
But it's meant to be studied.
Yes,
thy word have I hid in my heart.
Yeah.
That it would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, the reason God won't put you in the game, the reason God's not using you, is you're not willing to know the playbook.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to get in the book.
Amen.
We got to get in the book. There's a well there.
Yeah.
There's water there.
Amen.
That's our sustenance. The very being of our lives is dependent on us surrendering ourselves and reading our Bibles. D.L. Moody was preaching and he was starting to see, he was young in his ministry and he would see one or two people get saved and he would see some 30 or 40 people come to church and he thought he was doing everything that he could for God. But every time he would leave the service, he would pass by two women that would sit on a bench and every day they would ask Brother Moody, how are you doing today? He said, well, my ministry seems to be doing good. One person got saved. Oh, Mr. Moody, that's great. That's wonderful. But God's got something bigger for you. And I mean, every time the service would come out, he would walk down and there these two women would sit. And he'd say, well, I had about 40 people in the church. Oh, Mr. Moody, that's wonderful. That's great. I mean, that's awesome that you had 30 or 40 people, but God's got something big for you. Week in and week out, these women would do that till it finally started festering and finally started bothering Dr. Moody to the nth degree to where he finally broke down one day as he passed by their way. The story goes that he got out of his carriage, he got down on his knees and said, Lord, if there's something bigger, if there's something better for me, Lord, whatever it takes, I surrender. Let me have it. And the story goes that it was the next Sunday that hundreds would come into the church. Hundreds would come down the aisle. I mean, a ministry started because a man decided to go to the well of surrender. I don't want to just be a part of the team. I want to be in the fight. To be in the game, and what it takes is to be surrendered.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The faith of our fathers, that's the theme. You know what they had that we didn't, or we're not, is that surrender. They're willing to pay the price.
Yeah.
Number three, not only the well of salvation, the well of surrender, I must hurry, the well of separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The one thing, a well, that we certainly need is salvation. That's first and foremost. If you're not saved, folks, the rest of the service ain't going to help you none. You don't know anything what it's like to live for Christ, to have a friend that loveth at all times, to have somebody that died for you, there's somebody that wants to walk with you and talk with you, who inclines his ear to your prayers. That's who you're rejecting today. The well of salvation is necessary. But number two, the well of surrender. We have to surrender our lives. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be put in the game. And I want God to bless me. The well of surrender. But number three, and this is the well that we pass by so many times. A well that we say, well, I don't necessarily need that well. And that's the well of separation.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, the Bible is clear. We can't live like the world and expect God to bless us. The Bible's very clear when it says to come out from among them. Come out from among them in our doctrine. Come out from among them with our standards. Hey, we can't live like the devil and expect God to bless us. We can't live like the world and come to church on Sunday. I don't care what the country music songs say. It's not going to work. You want God to bless you? You want God to put you in the game? You want God to do something big in your life? You got to come to the well of separation. I talked to a man. We were down at Gateway Jubilee about 10 years ago. We sat there after the service, and I didn't even know who the man was, but my pastor did, and we sat there as an older gentleman. We found out later that it was actually Brother Joe Arthur's father-in-law who had sat down and talked to us for a little bit. And he talked to us about how he remembered the old-time revivals, the tent meetings, when bars would shut down, when people didn't have anything else. Apparently, people were a whole lot less busy back then. I guess they didn't have anything to do except go to church. I think they were something different back then.
Yeah.
I think they were just as busy, but they knew what was more important.
Yeah.
Amen? Right. He talked about us. He said, the tent meetings. He said people would come from all over. He talked about Oliver Green.
Yeah.
Setting up tent meetings, and people would come from all over. Oliver Green would get done preaching, and no sooner set his Bible down, and people would come up. Tears in their eyes, coming up, getting saved. My great-grandfather was one of those people. Came up to it was a Bennett Collins tent meeting. Bennett Collins was a song leader for Dr. Oliver Brigier. My great-grandfather got saved, put his cigarettes on the pew, never looked back. Kicked the TV out, radio out. I'll tell you what, we're going to have Super Bowl tonight. I ain't kicking the TV out. Say amen right there. I'm saved, but not that saved. Amen? Yeah, come on now. Don't get crazy on that thing. But a well of separation, they understood it. Oliver Green put a tent meeting up. He said, why in the world would you see that many people get saved? And tears started rolling down his eyes as he talked to me and my pastor. And he said, do you know why we don't see that today? He goes, because folks aren't willing to pay the price.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, back then, before all the show started, he said, we used to get together and pray for God to show up.
Amen. Amen.
Before meetings like this.
Amen.
We used to get together in people's homes and beg God to show up. Not tweet about God, not Facebook about the presence of God, but literally get down on our hands and knees and pray for God.
Amen.
You know what we've done? We've just about Googled God out of this thing.
That's good.
We've just about Facebooked God out of this thing. We've just about tweeted. Hey, listen, I know you're doing a great service to God by putting that Bible verse on Facebook. I know God. I think that's starting on the team. Amen? No, I don't think so. I think witnessing to your neighbor would be the start getting on the starting team.
Yeah.
I think making a difference in your school, to your teacher, to your pastor, I think that would be a way to get started in the game.
Amen.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, you can't live any way you want. You can't do it. You can't pretend to be a part of the world and expect for God to bless you.
Yeah.
Our fathers didn't do it, and they got to see God. Hey, I don't want to just dwell on a used to be. I want to have services like what we're having this morning. I want to talk up to my son and say, you never forget being in Charlestown Baptist Church in 2017. Not a used to be, but I'm talking about God doing something now. I want God to be big and real so when he gets older, he understands. He might depart from it. He may go away from it, but he'll know what was right.
Yeah.
He'll
Amen.
Remember it. He'll remember it. I preached this message at my great-grandfather's funeral. And he died, I guess it's been about 6 or 7 years ago. Lived, I guess he was almost 90, 87, 88 years old. He'd been married for 60-some years to the same woman. Had a family, been saved for just about that same amount of time. In my dining room is his Bible. After he died, his wife gave me that, my great-grandmother. Now I look at that Bible sometimes in my dining room and I think about the well that he dug for me years ago. And my kids run underneath that Bible all the time, not understanding it, not knowing it, just like Isaac did. But when it mattered most, Isaac remembered where the well was.
Yeah.
And can I say young people, older people, bigger people, smaller people, that the well is where we got to dig.
Amen.
The well of springing water is here. It's here. Now I'm thankful that one day, he decided to dig. That way it'd be a whole lot easier for me to dig.
Yeah. Yep.
And can I tell you what? I found a well of springing water there.
Hey.
Folks, let me tell you something. All of this that Pastor has put on and all of the glitz and the singing, all of that, so you'd understand that there's a well right here.
Amen.
I invite you to come and dig. Brother Gilbert, would you come?